The Stiff. "What is that god-awful row?"
"One of those Hmong beggars playing his flute, by the sounds of it."
"Well, it's annoying. Doesn't he know this is a hospital? Can't you go tell him to shut up?"
"You've got legs, you tell him."
"I'm in the middle of something."
"And I'm not."
The morgue was made of concrete, and secrets had no cracks to hide in. From their corpse-side seats, Nurse Dewey and Madame Deng could hear every disparaging word the two clerks spoke. The auditors were like an unhappily married couple. The pale-faced men in their frayed white shirts and polyester slacks had ghosted in the previous morning. They'd handed Dewey their official placement papers from the Justice Department and commandeered the office. They'd taken advantage of the coroner's absence and chosen this week to go through his books for the 1977 audit. It appeared they'd been instructed to find errors in the records. Dewey had known straight away that that task was virtually impossible, given that her boss had handwriting so horrible he could hardly read it himself. Dipping a cockroach in ink and having it scamper around the page would have left traces more legible to the average reader. But Nurse Dewey had to admire the auditor's determination. They had every flat surface in the office covered in a layer of grey papers, and were tiptoeing barefoot between them. They'd been through the entire first drawer of the filing cabinet and were making copious notes in their ledgers. They'd been instructed not to discuss their mission with menial staff, so Dewey had no way of helping them find whatever it was they were searching for.
"Let's go and have lunch," one of them said.
"Hmm."
It was the first thing they'd agreed on since their arrival. Dewey and Deng heard one or two paper rustles, the closing and locking of a door that hadn't been squeezed into its misshapen frame for many years, and a cough from just outside the room where the two ladies sat.
"Can I help you?"
Dewey asked.
"Comrade Boone, he and I are taking our lunch break," said one of the men.
"Perhaps you'd like to come in here and join us for a sandwich," she suggested.
Deng smiled and shook her head. The men hadn't dared enter the examination room since the arrival of the corpse that morning.
No, rather not. Good health, comrade."
And he was gone. There were four rooms of a sort in the only morgue in the People's Democratic Republic of Laos. The paper-strewn and off-limits office was one. Then there was a large alcove and the cramped storeroom in which Mr. Sung, the lab technician, stood polishing specimen jars. And finally there was the examination area they all referred to as the cutting room. It was here that Nurse Dewey and Madame Deng sat on either side of the deceased military officer, finishing their tea. Despite appearances, there was nothing perverse in this irreverent act. It had been necessitated by the peculiar events of that morning. Mr. Sung had a form of Down syndrome that made him very efficient at repetitive tasks and very thorough in those duties he had been taught. Anything out of the ordinary, however, caused him to become flustered. He didn't trust strange people or equipment that disturbed the norm in his domain. The auditors had been such an intrusion, and he continued to mutter his displeasure to himself. But there had been one other annoyance that week. The morgue's perfectly good French refrigeration unit had been replaced with a Soviet behemoth twice its size. Neither the hospital engineer who installed it nor Mr. Sung, who was responsible for turning it off and on, had any idea how it worked. Dewey could read Russian, but none of the dials seemed to perform the functions they promised. So Mr. Sung had been particularly distraught to discover that after only 2 hours in the unit, the army captain was deep frozen. Madame Deng, the coroner's fiancée, had arrived just then to discover Dewey comforting a teary Sung and a large ice pole of a corpse on the tray. It was made all the worse by the fact that an unknown surgeon would be coming to conduct the autopsy that afternoon in the company of Mr. Sook, the hospital director. The body had to be thawed out somehow before their arrival. They agreed that wrapping him in blankets would only have the effect of preserving the frozen state. It was a comparatively cool early December day, and there was no heater. Madame Deng, always calm in a crisis, suggested they wheel the soldier into the sunlight that filtered through the louvered window and sit close to the body so their own body heat might warm him up. The only other heat producer they could find was the Romanian water-boiling element. They plugged it in, placed the water pot at the end of the stainless steel dolly, and watched it bubble. As there was water on the boil and margarine peanut biscuits in the